Morgan, thanks for your investment in KPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, this is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Find us online, kansaspublicradio.org, and connect with us on Facebook. Partly sunny early on, then mostly cloudy and hot today. A high of 85, showers and storms tonight.
Good morning. The Supreme Court could rule trial next February. This is NPR.
Good morning. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Jay Schaefer. The people injured by gunfire at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade will learn later today just how much money they will receive from the KC Strong Fund. Peggy Lowe reports.
20 of the injured people will hear this morning, as will 14 community groups. The KC Strong Fund launched on February 15th, the day after the fatal shooting at Union Station. The United Way of Greater Kansas City partnered with the Chiefs to raise more than $2 million. Some of the victims found the process confusing and have been hard-pressed to pay for their mounting medical bills. They've been relying on personal GoFundMe accounts and donations from a faith-based group called The Church Loves Kansas City. I'm Peggy Lowe.
Kansas and three other states have joined a pilot program that makes it easier for cattle farmers to test for bird flu. The voluntary protocol allows herds that test negative to move more freely across state lines. Farmers will have to regularly test their milk for the virus, though. Health officials have detected bird flu in 4 Kansas cattle herds, but the federal government says there were no active cases in the state. Dozens of herds have tested positive for bird flu across the country. Justin Smith is the animal health commissioner with the Kansas Department of Agriculture.
The testing, one, is to minimize that exposure, but two, is to help us better understand and allow us to sleep better that those herds are not infected at that point in time.
Health experts at the CDC say the risk to the public remains low at this time. A federal report shows traffic deaths fell in Kansas in the first quarter of this year, but not in some neighboring states.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found that in the first 3 months of the year, 68 people died in Kansas crashes, down almost 22% from the same time last year. Traffic deaths nationally have been falling since 2022. Federal officials still say the number of dead is too high and distracted driving is one cause. Traffic deaths increased in Missouri by 16% during the first part of this year, and in Nebraska, deaths rose 34%. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Stephen Caranda.
The state of Kansas is warning of increased cases of tick and mosquito-borne diseases. Ticks can spread a variety of diseases like spotted fever and alpha-gal syndrome, a red meat allergy. Dr. Erin Petro is the state's public health veterinarian. She says several tick-borne diseases have already ended in hospitalization this year.
Those were happening in early May, which is about 3 to 4 weeks ahead of when we start really getting our rush of tick-borne diseases.
She says factors like a warm spring and more rainfall can increase tick activity. Town Anderson, a biologist at the University of Kansas who studies ticks, says climate change plays a role. The state recommends preventative measures when going outside, like insect repellent and wearing long pants, even in the heat. The Royals rallied to beat the Marlins 5-1 yesterday. This is KPR.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm...
Details at lead.ku.edu.
You're listening to Morning Edition on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. In about 10 minutes, we'll have an update of news headlines from around the world and across the state. And here's something. Do you like food? What about reading about food? Well, coming up on KPR, we'll hear about a woman from Riley County, Kansas, who changed the way we eat and the way we think and write about food.
It's easy to forget that, not so long ago, cooking in America was seen as a chore.
Certainly nothing anyone would want to read about. But one woman sought to change all that. Her name was Clementine Paddleford.
Coming up on KPR, the story of the Kansas woman who became America's first food writer. Commentator Katie Keckeisen has her story at 6:45 this morning on Morning Edition. Partly sunny skies today, but becoming mostly cloudy later on. It'll be hot, too, a high of 85, lots of humidity. Tonight, we've got an 80% chance for showers and storms. Tomorrow morning, a 50-50 chance for rain and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny and hot tomorrow, a high of 92 degrees.
Support for NPR.
Radio makes you listen to talkative turtles or ships out to sea. But it also makes you taste.
I love rice so much.
And dream.
Wait, can we be a label?
Sure, why not?
And feel.
I'm nostalgia to you and your everyone.
Tune in to All Things Considered for the inspiration you need to end your day.
All Things Considered on the air from 3 to 7 today. KPR's Laura Lorson will be your host. Do you like food? What about reading about food? Coming up in this next half hour, we'll hear about a woman from Riley County who changed the way we eat and the way we think and write about food.
It's easy to forget that, not so long ago, cooking in America was seen as a chore. Certainly nothing anyone would want to read about. But one woman sought to change all that. Her name was Clementine Paddleford.
Details coming up.
Live from NPR News in
armored vehicles. He was asked if he was overthrowing the government, and he rambled on about saving the country, releasing political prisoners, and vowing to install a real democracy.
This is NPR News from Washington.
Good morning. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Jay Schaefer. Kansas has joined a pilot program that makes it easier for cattle farmers to test for bird flu and move cattle across state lines. Zane Irwin reports.
It's a voluntary program that lets herds with negative tests move more freely across state lines. Farmers will have to test their milk regularly for the virus. Officials have detected bird flu in 4 Kansas cattle herds, but the federal government says the state has no active cases. Dozens of herds and a few people have tested positive nationwide. Justin Smith is the animal health commissioner at the Kansas Department of Agriculture. He says this program is good for health and for business.
If they have to move these cows, it's labor intensive to have to go out and pull a sample from each and every one of those cows that is required to be moved.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the risk is still low for most people. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The people injured by gunfire at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade will learn later today just how much money they'll be getting from the KC Strong Fund.
20 of the injured people will hear this morning, as will 14 community groups. The KC Strong Fund launched on February 15th, the day after the fatal shooting at Union Station. The United Way of Greater Kansas City partnered with the Chiefs to raise more than $2 million. Some of the victims found the process confusing and have been hard-pressed to pay for their mounting medical bills. They've been relying on personal GoFundMe accounts and donations from a faith-based group called the Church Loves Kansas City. I'm Peggy Lowe.
The state of Kansas is warning of increased cases of tick and mosquito-borne diseases. Ticks can spread a variety of diseases like spotted fever. Dr. Erin Petro is the state's public health veterinarian. She says several tick-borne diseases have already ended in hospitalizations this year.
Those were happening in early May, which is about 3 to 4 weeks ahead of when we start really getting our rush of tick-borne diseases.
Petro says factors like a warm spring and more rainfall can increase tick activity. Town Peterson, a biologist at the University of Kansas who studies ticks, says climate change plays a role. The state is recommending some preventative measures when going outside, like using insect repellent with DEET and wearing long pants, even in the heat. In Major League Baseball, the Royals rallied to beat the Marlins 5-1 yesterday. The Royals will face the Cleveland Guardians later tonight at the K in Kansas City. Partly sunny skies expected, but becoming mostly cloudy later in the day. Hot weather, a high of 85. Tonight, an 80% chance for showers and storms. And tomorrow morning, a 50-50 chance for rain and thunderstorms. This is KPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. This is NPR News.
And this is Morning Edition on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Well, I had no idea America's first food writer grew up in Kansas. I guess that's because she's largely been forgotten. And I thought I knew everything about this state. Well, along comes Katie Keckhuizen to tell me, no, you don't know about Clementine Paddleford, but I will tell you about her. And now I will share that story with you straight ahead on Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Here's what's happening with the weather. For today, we expect a mostly cloudy sky by this afternoon. It's going to be hot. We'll have a high of 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy with an 80% chance of showers and storms. Overnight low of 68. And tomorrow morning, a 50-50 chance for rain and thunderstorms. Here in Lawrence, at the moment, we have sunshine, 68 degrees. Topeka, partly cloudy and 68. In Manhattan, the sun is shining, 68. Kansas City, 69. Chanute, sunny and 68. And in Emporia, sunny and 67. It will cloud up later today. Stay with us at KPR.
Hello, I'm Cordelia Brown, your classical friend.
It's Morning Edition on KPR. I'm Jay Schaefer. The discussion of food seems to be just about everywhere these days. There's even a TV network dedicated to it. From best-selling cookbooks to numerous shows on the Food Network, Americans seem to be obsessed with food, but that wasn't always the case. Things began to change when a woman from Riley County, Kansas, studied journalism at Kansas State University and then started writing about food. Commentator Katie Keckhuizen has the story of America's first but largely forgotten food writer.
In this era of online food bloggers, many of us only recipes that have been handed down through the generations. In 1953, Time magazine named Clementine Paddleford its best-known food editor. In 1960, she published How America Eats. The book was a compilation of writings from her years of travel around the United States. In it, Paddleford highlighted the local culinary traditions that could be found in each of the 50 states, as well as the people behind those traditions. As founder of Saveur magazine, Coleman Andrews wrote, "Wherever she is and whatever she's eating, she connects the food with the people who make it and places it comes from." Clementine Paddleford died in 1967 in New York City.
Commentator Katie Keckhuizen is a local history librarian for the Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library. She lives in Topeka. Keckhuizen is also a former collections activist. Make that a collections archivist at the Kansas Historical Society. Clearly, she knows a lot about Kansas history. And that's why we like to hear from her here on Kansas Public Radio. I hope you did too. We'll be hearing more from Katie Keckhuizen throughout the rest of this year.
Do you enjoy the news, music, and enlightening talk on KPR? Help us keep the station on the air by becoming a sustaining member or upgrading your sustaining membership at kansaspublicradio.org. Give today and your gift will be matched.
Later this morning on KPR One, a few recordings from this year's Sunflower Music Festival. How did we turn that around so fast? The music festival's still underway. I'm sure that our recording engineer, Chuck Smith, had something to do with the quick turnaround. In any event, a few recordings already from this year's Sunflower Music Festival. That's coming up this morning when Cordelia Brown brings us the classics on KPR One. You know, free classical concerts can be heard every night at 7:30 at Washburn University through this Saturday. So we'll have some of that this morning, following Morning Edition. If you're listening to KPR2, stay tuned for the BBC NewsHour at 9 a.m. Here in Lawrence, sunny skies, 68 degrees at 6:51.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldin.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. The two candidates for the United Kingdom's next prime minister have met for their final debate before they face voters on July 1st.
You're listening to Kansas Public Radio, which includes KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. You'll find us online at kansaspublicradio.org. It's sunny and 69 degrees at 7 o'clock.
This is NPR.
Good morning. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Jay Schaefer. It's 7:04. Kansas is warning residents of early season cases of tick and mosquito-borne diseases. Ticks can spread a variety of diseases, including spotted fever and alpha-gal syndrome. That's a red meat allergy. The state said by early May it had investigated several tick-borne disease cases 3 to 4 weeks ahead of the typical season, and some of those cases ended in hospitalization. Tom Peterson is a biologist at the University of Kansas, where he studies ticks. He says climate change may make the insects more active.
It gets warmer earlier in the spring, and it stays warmer later in the fall. And just that means that ticks have the potential to get out and look for a host in parts of the year when they never would have been able to before.
Peterson says a thriving deer population also plays a role. The state recommends applying insect repellent with DEET and wearing long pants while outside. The state of Kansas has joined a pilot program that makes it easier for cattle farmers to test for bird flu and move cattle between states. Zane Irwin has that report.
It's a voluntary program that lets herds with negative tests move more freely across state lines. Farmers will have to test their milk regularly for the virus. Officials have detected bird flu in 4 Kansas cattle herds, but the federal government says the state has no active cases. Dozens of herds and a few people have tested positive nationwide. Justin Smith is the animal health commissioner at the Kansas Department of Agriculture. He says this program is good for health and for business.
If they have to move these cows, it's labor intensive to have to go out and pull a sample from each and every one of those cows that is required to be moved.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the risk is still low for most people. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The people injured by gunfire at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade will learn later today how much money they'll get from the KC Strong Fund.
20 of the injured people will hear this morning, as will 14 community groups. The KC Strong Fund launched on February 15th, the day after the fatal shooting at Union Station. The United Way of Greater Kansas City partnered with the Chiefs to raise more than $2 million. Some of the victims found the process confusing and have been hard-pressed to pay for their mounting medical bills. They've been relying on personal GoFundMe accounts and donations from a faith-based group called The Church Loves Kansas City. I'm Peggy Lowe.
A federal report shows traffic deaths fell in Kansas in the first quarter of the year, but not in some of our neighboring states.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found that in the first 3 months of the year, 68 people died in Kansas crashes, down almost 22% from the same time last year. Traffic deaths nationally have been falling since 2022. Federal officials still say the number of dead is too high and distracted driving is one cause. Traffic deaths increased in Missouri by 16% during the first part of this year, and in Nebraska, deaths rose 34%. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Stephen Caranda.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm
7:19 on this Thursday morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Cider Gallery, a unique gallery space featuring works by local and regional artists, open Fridays, 1 to 5, and by appointment. Details at CiderGallery.com.
Our next news update is 10 minutes away here on Morning Edition. Do you like food? What about reading about food? Coming up on KPR, we'll hear about a woman from Riley County who changed the way we eat and the way we think and write about food.
It's easy to forget that, not so long ago, cooking in America was seen as a chore. Certainly nothing anyone would want to read about. But one woman sought to change all that. Her name was Clementine Paddleford.
Coming up in about 20-some minutes on KPR, the story of the Kansas woman who became America's first food writer. Commentator Katie Keckeisen will have details at 7:45 here on Morning Edition.
Support for the coverage of health news on KPR comes from the Sunflower Foundation. Based in Topeka, the Sunflower Foundation serves as a catalyst for improving the health of all Kansans. More information is available at sunflowerfoundation.org.
We're starting off with sunny skies this morning across eastern Kansas, but they will become mostly cloudy. It'll be hot today, a high of 85. By tonight, lots of cloudiness and an 80% chance for showers and storms, a low of 68. Tomorrow morning, a 50-50 chance for rain and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny and hot on Friday with a high of 92. It's sunny and 70 degrees all across eastern Kansas.
Support for NPR.
All things considered, for the inspiration you need to end your day.
All things considered on the air from 3 to 7 today here on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Sure, it's sunny right now, 70 degrees just about everywhere. But later today, it will become mostly cloudy, a high of 85. And by tonight, an 80% chance for showers and thunderstorms. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in what never existed. The head of the National Transportation Safety Board says the NT...
Where it never happens again.
This is NPR News from Washington.
And good morning. With KPR News from Lawrence, I'm Jay Schaefer. Kansas is warning residents of early season cases of tick and mosquito-borne diseases. Ticks can spread a variety of diseases, including spotted fever. The state said by early May it had investigated several severe tick-borne disease cases 3 to 4 weeks ahead of a typical season, and some of those cases ended in hospitalization. Town Peterson is a biologist at the University of Kansas where he studies ticks. He says climate change may make the insects more active.
It gets warmer earlier in the spring, and it stays warmer later in the fall. And just that means that ticks have the potential to get out and look for a host in parts of the year when they never would have been able to before.
Peterson says a thriving deer population also plays a role. The state recommends applying insect repellent with DEET and wearing long pants while outside. Kansas has joined a pilot program that makes it easier for cattle farmers to test for bird flu and move cattle.
It's a voluntary program that lets herds with negative tests move more freely across state lines. Farmers will have to test their milk regularly for the virus. Officials have detected bird flu in 4 Kansas cattle herds, but the federal government says the state has no active cases. Dozens of herds and a few people have tested positive nationwide. Justin Smith is the animal health commissioner at the Kansas Department of Agriculture. He says this program is good for health and for business.
If they have to move these cows, it's labor intensive to have to go out and pull a sample from each and every one of those cows that is required to be moved.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the risk is still low for most people. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The people injured by gunfire at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade will learn later today how much money they will receive from the KC Strong Fund. Peggy Lowe has that report.
20 of the injured people will hear this morning, as will 14 community groups. The Casey Strong Fund launched on February 15th, the day after the fatal shooting at Union Station. The United Way of Greater Kansas City partnered with the Chiefs to raise more than $2 million. Some of the victims found the process confusing and have been hard-pressed to pay for their mounting medical bills. They've been relying on personal GoFundMe accounts and donations from a faith-based group called The Church Loves Kansas City. I'm Peggy Lowe.
In Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals rallied yesterday afternoon to beat the Miami Marlins 5-1. The Royals face the Cleveland Guardians later tonight at the K in Kansas City. Partly to mostly sunny skies this morning, but becoming mostly cloudy later today. Hot weather expected with a high of 85. Tonight, an 80% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow morning, a 50-50 chance for showers and storms.
It's Morning Edition.
You're listening to Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio. The story of America's first and largely forgotten food writer who grew up in Riley County and went to K-State. That's next on Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, engaging the community with programs like Masterpiece, Nova, Frontline, and Antiques Roadshow. Program information at kansascitypbs.org.
Partly to mostly sunny skies across eastern Kansas this morning. It's 71 degrees just about everywhere. Kansas City, 72. Later today, it will become mostly cloudy and we'll have a high around 85 degrees. Tonight, with a mostly cloudy sky, an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, overnight low of 68. And tomorrow morning, we have a 50% chance for rain and storms. Otherwise, on Friday, partly sunny and hot, a high of 92. Thunderstorms are also likely tomorrow night, 70% chance. Here on the KU campus, sunny and 71 degrees at 744.
I'm Laura Lorson, the All Things Considered host at KFORM.
Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. And from ECMC Foundation at ECMCFoundation.org.
This is Kansas Public Radio. I'm Jay Schaefer. The discussion of food seems to be just about everywhere these days. There's even a TV network dedicated to it. From best-selling cookbooks to numerous shows on the Food Network, Americans seem to be obsessed. But that wasn't always the case. Things began to change when a woman from Riley County studied journalism at Kansas State University and then started writing about food. Commentator Katie Keckeisen has the story of America's first but largely forgotten food writer.
In this era of online food bloggers, many of us often bemoan the fact that we must scroll through a short story before we even get to the list of ingredients. It's easy to forget that, not so long ago, cooking in America was seen as a chore. Popular culture made it seem that home-cooked food was bland and unappetizing. Certainly nothing anyone would want to read about. But one woman sought to change all that. Her name was Clementine Paddleford. Clementine Haskin Paddleford was born on September 27, 1898, on a farm near Stockdale, Kansas. The Riley County town was later displaced by the creation of Tuttle Creek Reservoir. She came from a family of determined pioneers. Her grandfather, Stephen Kate Paddleford, was one of the earliest settlers to farm in Riley County. And her mother, Jenny, had taken one of the earliest home economics courses offered by Kansas State University. Paddleford learned the joys of home cooking from her mother, who saw every meal as an opportunity to share a life and a history. Even from an early age, Clementine Paddleford's scrapbooks were filled with menus and detailed notes of what was served at various functions she attended. In 1921, Paddleford graduated from K-State with a degree in industrial journalism. She moved to New York City, where she took classes at New York University's School of Journalism and picked up freelance writing jobs. In 1924, she became the household editor for Farm and Fireside magazine, where she began to garner attention for the novel way she wrote about food. This eventually landed her a job as a columnist for the New York Herald Tribune and its syndicated magazine, This Week. During the 1920s and 1930s, most food journalism that appeared in magazines and newspapers was little more than a thinly veiled advertisement, whose writers were home economists. Almost no text accompanied a recipe. Paddleford's articles changed all of that. She thoroughly researched every story and added details about each dish that could make the reader's mouth water just by reading it. Her early life on a farm gave her a unique insight into the lives of everyday women who were trying to feed their families with as much sophistication and dignity as they could manage. Paddleford's enthusiasm for her subject made her a hit with readers' generations. In 1953, Time magazine named Clementine Paddleford its best-known food editor. In 1960, she published How America Eats. The book was a compilation of writings from her years of travel around the United States. In it, Paddleford highlighted the local culinary traditions that could be found in each of the 50 states, as well as the people behind those traditions. As founder of Saveur magazine, Coleman Andrews wrote, "Wherever she is and whatever she's eating, she connects the food with the people who make it and places it comes from." Clementine Paddleford died in 1967 in New York City.
Commentator Katie Keckhuizen is a local history librarian for the Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library. She lives in Topeka. And if you can find something as interesting as that on another radio station, well, you should be listening to it right now. But you're not. You're here listening to KPR, and we're glad to have you. We also hope you'll support our efforts by making your way to our website and making a contribution at kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks. Business news is up next on KPR's Morning Edition. Sunny right now and about 71 degrees in most places. Later today, mostly cloudy, a high of 85. And then tonight, an 80% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow morning, a 50-50 chance for rain and storms. And tomorrow night, thunderstorms will be likely across the KPR listening area. It's sunny and 71 at KPR.
NPR News, Seoul.
This is NPR.
Good morning. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Jay Schaefer. It's 8:04. The state of Kansas is warning of increased cases of tick-borne and mosquito-borne diseases. Ticks can spread a variety of diseases, like spotted fever. Dr. Erin Petro is the state's public health veterinarian. She says several tick-borne diseases have already ended up in hospitalizations this year.
Those were happening in early May, which is about 3 to 4 weeks ahead of when we start really getting our rush of tick-borne diseases.
Petro says factors like a warm spring and more rainfall can increase tick activity. Town Peterson is a biologist at the University of Kansas who studies ticks. He says climate change also plays a role. The state recommends preventative measures when going outside, like using insect repellent with DEET and wearing long pants. Kansas and three other states have joined a pilot program that makes it easier for cattle farmers to test for bird flu. The voluntary protocol allows herds that test negative to move more freely between state lines. Farmers will have to regularly test their milk for the virus, though. Health officials have detected bird flu in 4 Kansas cattle herds. However, there are no active cases in the state right now. Dozens of herds have tested positive across the country. Justin Smith is the animal health commissioner at the Department of Agriculture.
The testing, one, is to minimize that exposure, but two, is to help us better understand and allow us to sleep better that those herds are not infected at that point in time.
Health experts at the Centers for Disease Control say the risk to the public remains low at this time. A federal report shows traffic deaths fell in Kansas during the first quarter of this year. That's not the same case in neighboring states.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found that in the first 3 months of the year, 68 people died in Kansas crashes, down almost 22% from the same time last year. Traffic deaths nationally have been falling since 2022. Federal officials still say the number of dead is too high and distracted driving is one cause. Traffic deaths increased in Missouri by 16% during the first part of this year, and in Nebraska, deaths rose 34%. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Stephen Caranda.
The Medicaid program in Kansas, called CanCare, will cover doula services for pregnant women beginning July 1st. Sarah Skiles is the owner of Wichita Doula. She says doulas help bridge the gap between physicians and parents-to-be by providing patients with extra support and education and by being present during birth. Even though doulas are not medical providers, Skiles says their intervention can be life-saving, and she thinks expanding coverage to doula services will be good for patients, though she does have some reservations.
We have heard in some other states the reimbursement rates were below market rate, which would make it really difficult to continue to make a living as a doula.
At least 12 other states have implemented Medicaid coverage of doula care. This is Kansas Public Radio News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR.
This is NPR News.
8:19 on this Thursday morning, June 27th. You're listening to Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Habitat for Humanity of the Northern Flint Hills, building homes and community through new construction and home repair in Riley, Geary, and Pottawatomie counties, while operating a ReStore in Manhattan. Details at HabitatFlintHills.org.
We have mostly sunny to sunny skies all across eastern Kansas this morning, and the mercury is starting to rise. In Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Kansas City, and Chanute, it's already 74 degrees. In Emporia, sunny and 73. Later today, mostly cloudy skies will develop. We'll have a high of 85, and by tonight, an 80% chance of showers and storms. Pretty good chance for showers and storms tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. Tomorrow morning, a 50% chance, and Friday night, a 70% chance of thunderstorms. Here at KU, sunny and 74 degrees.
Support for KPR comes from Mammoth, presenting contemporary swing revival band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, October 3rd at Liberty Hall. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com. That's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy at Liberty Hall, October 3rd.
A few recordings already from this year's Sunflower Music Festival in the spotlight this morning. From 9 to noon on KPR 1, Cordelia Brown will have the classics. Did you know you can enjoy free classical concerts each night of the Sunflower Music Fest at 7:30 in the evening at Washburn University? The Sunflower Music Festival's running through Saturday. Stick around for the classics from 9 to noon this morning on KPR1. In addition to some great music from the Sunflower Music Fest, we'll listen to a whole lot more. And Cordelia Brown has the classics from 9 to noon today on KPR1. If you're listening to KPR2, stay with us for the BBC News Hour at 9 o'clock.
A group of generous members has put together a $25,000 challenge that will be met when you make a pledge right now. Help us meet this match at kansaspublicradio.org. Your support will keep KPR on the air. Thank you for your support.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Layla Faldin.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Those who follow social justice issues know the Reverend William Barber.
All Things Considered is on the air from 3 to 7 today here on Kansas Public Radio. Laura Lorson will be your host.
Support for KPR comes from Stoneback Appliance in Lawrence, locally owned for over 50 years, featuring new and used appliances from Maytag, Whirlpool, and more. We've got your back at stonebackappliance.com.
The latest news headlines are next, and coming up in this next half hour on Morning Edition, a report from KPR's Greg Ecklin about black athletes and coaches in college baseball.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. President Biden and former President Donald Trump are now just hours away, but mostly lower moments ago. This is NPR News.
And this is KPR News. Good morning, I'm Jay Schaefer. Kansas has joined a pilot program that makes it easier for cattle farmers to test for bird flu and move cattle between states. Zane Irwin reports.
It's a voluntary program that lets herds with negative tests move more freely across state lines. Farmers will have to test their milk regularly for the virus. Officials have detected bird flu in 4 Kansas cattle herds, but the federal government says the state has no active cases. Dozens of herds and a few people have tested positive nationwide. Justin Smith is the animal health commissioner at the Kansas Department of Agriculture. He says this program is good for health and for business.
If they have to move these cows, it's a labor intensive to have to go out and pull a sample from each and every one of those cows that is required to be moved.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the risk is still low for most people. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The people injured by gunfire at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade will learn later today how much money they'll get from the KC Strong Fund.
20 of the injured people will hear this morning, as will 14 community groups. The KC Strong Fund launched on February 15th, the day after the fatal shooting at Union Station. The United Way of Greater Kansas City partnered with the Chiefs to raise more than $2 million. Some of the victims found the process confusing and have been hard-pressed to pay for their mounting medical bills. They've been relying on personal GoFundMe accounts and donations from a faith-based group called The Church Loves Kansas City. I'm Peggy Lowe.
The Medicaid program in Kansas, called CanCare, will cover doula services for pregnant women beginning July 1st. Sarah Skiles is the owner of Wichita Doula. She says doulas bridge the gap between physicians and parents-to-be by providing patients with extra support and education and by being there, present during birth. Even though doulas are not medical providers, Skiles says their intervention can be life-saving, and she thinks expanding coverage to doula services will be good for patients. She does, though, have a few reservations.
We have heard in some other states the reimbursement rates were below market rate, which would make it really difficult to continue to make a living as a doula.
At least 11 other states have implemented Medicaid coverage of doula care, and a Medicaid program in Kansas will start covering doula services on July 1. In Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals rallied to beat the Miami Marlins 5-1 yesterday afternoon. The Royals will take on the Cleveland Guardians later tonight at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Later this afternoon, we'll have mostly cloudy skies and a high of 85. Tonight, an 80% chance of showers and storms. This is KPR.
It's Morning Edition from NPR.
That cover the river bottom like shards of wet pottery. For NPR News, I'm Paul Garber in Wilkes County, North Carolina.
Still to come on KPR's Morning Edition, a report from KPR's own Greg Ecklin. Although the color barrier was broken decades ago in Major League Baseball, there are few black players in college baseball and even fewer black coaches at the college level. Greg Ecklin has that report straight ahead on Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center of Johnson County Community College, announcing their 2024-25 season featuring the Opus 76 Quartet, Trailblazing Women of Country, and more. Packages available now at jccc.edu/Midwest Trust Center.
For the past few days or so, KPR has been conducting a quiet drive. Have you heard these announcements?
Do you enjoy the news, music, and enlightening talk on KPR? Help us keep the station on the air by becoming a sustaining member or upgrading your sustaining membership at kansaspublicradio.org. Give today and your gift will be matched.
Indeed, your gift will be matched. We started with a pool of $25,000 in matching funds. We've got about 14 grand left. So if you'd like to have your contribution matched dollar for dollar before the end of our fiscal year, then make a contribution right now at kansaspublicradio.org. And thank you.
Hey there. It's
history. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund.
This is NPR News.
And this is the place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. Well, can you believe it? The United Kingdom is holding elections on July 4th. Interesting. We'll hear more about the UK elections straight ahead. And some Ukrainian soldiers who are also musicians are on a tour of the U.S., to thank Americans for the latest round of military aid to Ukraine. They're also trying to gin up new support for the embattled nation. Those two stories coming up between now and 9 o'clock, and then, of course, Cordelia Brown will be in after the 9 o'clock news from NPR. We'll listen to a few recordings already from this year's Sunflower Music Festival. Free classical concerts are held each night at 7:30 in the evening at Washburn University through this Saturday. Check it out. One of Haydn's Opus 76 quartets, also an Italian Baroque oboe concerto, a Schubert sonata, and the exciting organ symphony by Camille Saint-Saëns. Cordelia and the Classics from 9 to noon this morning on KPR 1. If you just can't get enough news and talk, well, you should listen to KPR 2. We'll bring you news from the BBC at 9 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies later today. Good chance of storms tonight and tomorrow night.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldin.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. The two candidates for the United Kingdom's next prime minister.
Your place to find NPR News and classical music, which we will find together after the latest news from NPR. Cordelia Brown is on deck, and this morning she'll bring us a few recordings from this year's Sunflower Music Festival, which continues in Topeka on the campus of Washburn University. The Sunflower Music Fest has some free classical concerts each night at 7:30. We'll be listening to some of what was captured at this year's music festival during the course of the next 3 hours. Also this morning, other selections, including an organ symphony by Camille Saint-Saëns. Stay with us.
Right now, during KPR's Quiet Drive, a group of KPR members, including Deb and Alan Parmet, Dr. Brock and Mary Kretzinger, and Leo and Joy Schell, are matching all pledges dollar for dollar. Give now at kansaspublicradio.org, and your donation will be matched.
If you're keeping track at home, here is the update on KPR's silent, ever-so-quiet fund drive. We started with a pool of matching funds amounting to $25,000, but we still have about 14 grand left to go. $14,000 worth of matching funds. You can have your contribution matched right now when you pledge at kansaspublicradio.org. This is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Have a glorious Thursday morning. It's 9:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Tonight's the first...